What is up, you wretched, rash, intruding fools? Welcome to No Holds Barred, the Shakespeare podcast Shakespeare would have listened to. I'm Dan Bollier.
And I'm Kevin Condardo. We are back this week with this month's wild card episode, where we strive to be but so-so. This month, for our wild card, we are going to introduce a new party game for you kids at home that you can have at your indoor kid Shakespeare parties that you can play together. This was inspired by an email we received from Miranda Bishop at our email address at noholdsbarredpodcast@gmail.com. She wrote, "Once, when discussing themes in Shakespeare's plays, I had a very smart professor tell me that, quote, Hamlet is about everything," end quote. What is Hamlet not about? It's a great question. This month, we will explore exactly what Hamlet is not about as we introduce the new party game we're affectionately calling Will Actually.
Here we go.
So very quickly, here are the rules that we have made up and are about to explore if they work for the game that we're affectionately calling Will Actually. We're going to take turns throwing out statements that begin with, Hamlet is not about blank.
Blank.
And then the response, the other player will say, Dan.
Will, actually, Hamlet is about blank, and let me tell you why.
So this, of course, tacking on to, for those of you who know what mansplaining is a hot trend right now where, as Wikipedia defines, quote, mansplaining is to explain something to someone, typically a man to a woman, in a manner regarded as condescending or patronizing.
Actually, Kev, that definition is really not quite clear. It's really just explaining yourself over and over again when the point has already been made.
Mm-hmm. And as two people that are smarter than all of our listeners, we are emphatic mansplainers, and we think that explaining why these things are about, why Hamlet is in fact about these things, we will prove that Hamlet is in fact about everything.
Right. We're actually barred fly splaining, because it's regardless of gender, it's really just explaining to you barred flies what Hamlet actually is about.
If there's one thing I know our listeners are going to be good for, it's going to be improving what the pun is here. So get at us, listeners. Let us know what the correct pun is, and we'll fix it next time we play Will Actually.
Right. And the twist here also to this rendition of Will Actually, not for all listeners, but for those of you over 21, if you wanted to make this a party drinking game, it certainly can be. We are currently enjoying some fantastic throwback brewery, Spicy Bohemian Pilsner. The person who is thinking of their answer will have to drink while they think until they come up with the Will Actually and then go on their rant. So it behooves you to come up with your answer quickly. And depending on the player, it'll either come up faster or longer as the night goes on.
And then the one other caveat to this game is we have both chosen things that we could explain that Hamlet is about.
Oh, right.
I think that is the caveat for these subjects, is that when pressed, you can say to your opponent,
tell me more about that. Yeah.
And that will press your opponent to have to explain why Hamlet is about that. I think that makes sense.
It does. Now, do we want to set the limit to be willing to do that once, or?
I think, yeah, we do that once. We're going to do 5 topics each. We'll each have a minute to BS our way through an answer.
Sure.
And then, yeah, you get one, you can, we each get to do that once, I guess.
Yeah.
To be honest, listeners, friends, we don't know if this is going to work, but it's the wild card, so we'll find out.
If as long as it's but so-so, we've done our job.
That's all we need. All right, do you want to try this?
Yeah, let's give it the old college try.
All right, I got my clock ready. Or at least
the high school try.
Dan won the coin flip before the show, so he has elected to put me on the spot first. I have my delicious throwback ready. Dan.
Yes.
Tell me about Hamlet.
Well, you know, I'd love to tell you about Hamlet, but I'm going to tell you what Hamlet isn't about first, Kevin. I'm going to tell you, Hamlet is not about flowers.
Well, actually, Hamlet is about flowers, Dan. I think Hamlet actually, of course, may be the play, the Shakespeare play most about flowers, or have the most definite link to botany, of course, with Ophelia's scene. Ophelia bringing the flowers in her madness, rue for remembrance, all that whole thing, which I always probably got wrong. It's either rue or rosemary. I forget which one it is, but it's one of them. And the fact, you know, there's the famous painting of Ophelia in the lily pads, of course, a beautiful garden painting that really reflects the role of nature.
Yes.
And the soft, gentle, green-thumbed nature of the beautiful flower that is Ophelia as she is stomped and weed-whacked in the prison that is Denmark. So,
very nice.
That felt good. Okay, this could work.
Right? This is going to be fine.
Dan, it's funny that you mentioned flowers as something that Hamlet is about, because Hamlet is not about white privilege.
Well, actually, I think Hamlet is absolutely about white privilege. We're looking at someone who is a prince who is walking around talking about how hard his life is when he doesn't really have to do anything. I mean, he has all this food brought to him. He has his friends brought in from out of town. Sure, he's going through some personal things, but he's really blowing out of proportion and really like bemoaning his state. When people have it a lot harder than he does, they bring his poor friends Rosencrantz and Guildenstern in, who really should be at school studying, just to cheer him up, which is the ultimate sign of just someone who's way overprivileged and spoiled. This is a little bratty kid. Hamlet's a tiny brat who is just doesn't have it going quite so poorly, but wants to tell us all ad nauseum for 4 hours how miserable his life is. So I have to tell you, Kev, Hamlet is about white privilege. Mm. But you know what Hamlet is not about, Kev?
What's Hamlet not about, Dan?
Hamlet is not about the 2003 Boston Red Sox.
I have this too. Well, actually, Dan, Hamlet is about the 2003 Boston Red Sox. Because, like Hamlet, the 2003 Boston Red Sox are haunted by a ghost that was so close that it could speak to them and led them directly into a place of being murdered in the most devastating way, in front of people that they cared about the most, just when hope and the future was right within their grasp, and all it took was one idiot. Oh, what is the guy's name who's the judge of the duel?
Is it Osric?
Osric, yeah. And Osric Grady Little gets out there and doesn't go to the bullpen to get the sword with a button on it. And the 2003 Red Sox and Hamlet get the poisoned cup, as it were. So, Dan, Hamlet is about the 2003 Boston Red Sox.
Okay, good point.
But I'll tell you, Dan, you know what Hamlet is not about?
What's that?
Hamlet is not about cybersecurity. He's drinking.
Well, actually, Kev, Hamlet is about cybersecurity, and I'll tell you why. We meet in the very first scene, the people that we meet at the start of the play are security guards. They're out on the watch. It starts with a knock-knock joke. Who's there? And then we watch some people who really don't want to be doing what they're doing posting up and looking out for this ghost in the middle of the night. Now, some people will tell you that the threat of a ghost is completely bunk, which other people will tell you that the threat of cyber hackers is also not really well-founded, that this is just sending out people who have jobs that don't really need to be there. And then if you slack in your job and you don't get the job done, horrible things can happen. Which is what happens in Hamlet when the people don't actually talk to the ghost. Then they get Horatio involved, and Horatio is a pissant, so he gets Hamlet involved, and the whole thing falls apart. And that's why Hamlet is about cybersecurity.
Okay.
Cool. But you know what Hamlet's not about, Kev?
What's Hamlet not about, Dan?
Make sure you have that beer in your hand, because I don't think Hamlet is about macaroni and cheese.
Well, actually, Hamlet is about macaroni and cheese, Dan. Because macaroni and cheese, of course, is a marriage of two different cuisines brought together. Macaroni of the Italian stock and cheese, more popularized in France. And Hamlet is about the joining, about the dangers of not embracing multiple regions, multiple countries, multiple customs. Yeah. When Hamlet wants to marry Ophelia, that's as if you're making, I don't know, something all from the same, you know, it's homogenous. It's macaroni and spaghetti sauce. And where's that going to get us? But when
goulash.
You embrace going outside of your comfort zone, of going across borders, like because the Italians don't have cheese. So
right,
Hamlet and Ophelia joining together is, we need Hamlet to go across boundaries. We need Ophelia to go across boundaries to embrace something as wonderful and as orange as macaroni and cheese. So, Dan, Hamlet is about macaroni and cheese.
Well, now that you put it that way, I see your point.
But you know what Hamlet is not about, Dan?
What is Hamlet not about, Kev?
Hamlet is not about mansplaining.
Well, actually, Kev, Hamlet is about mansplaining, and if you had a bigger brain, you would understand that. But I understand. Let me spell it out for you, make it really clear. The story of Hamlet is really just about a boy who's trying to be a man in a world full of powerful men, and he is just moving along, trying. I'm already seeing the tweets come out. Emily, I'm sorry. This is part of the game. So I really think that Hamlet, when you break it down, it's really just a story of a boy trying to become a man, but he's stuck forever inside of the life of a boy. So he needs someone to come along and mansplain to him what it means to grow up and get over himself. Hmm. And that's why Hamlet is about mansplaining.
Interesting. That's an interesting point, Dan. I hadn't thought about it that way before.
Well, that's what I'm here for. I'll explain to more lately, more off the air, after I finish this delicious spicy bohemian keg. But you know what Hamlet is not about, Kev?
Tell me, Dan, what is Hamlet not about?
Hamlet, now that we've established that it is indeed about mansplaining, Hamlet is not about the quadratic equation.
Well, actually, Dan, Hamlet is about the quadratic equation. One point of order.
Yes.
Is the quadratic equation a squared plus b squared equals c squared?
Negative.
Which one's the quadratic equation?
Well, I can mansplain it to you if you like. You want
to tell me more about that?
Yes. Well, of course, the quadratic equation
is the Pythagorean theorem. What an idiot I am.
Yeah, well, it's another topic for another time. The quadratic equation is negative b plus or minus the square root of b squared minus 4ac all over 2a. So negative b, of course, is not to b.
Oh, I hate you.
And b squared is 2b. So that is where you get the 2b and not to b. Now, this is all over 2a. Now, 2a inverted, of course, is a2, which is famous from Julius Caesar, which
not
happens
familiar.
To be a play about assassination, as is Hamlet. The quadratic equation is also a univariate, meaning there's only one variable. And in Hamlet's angst, there is only one variable, to live or not to live. And that is why Hamlet is about the quadratic equation.
I hate you and I hate this game. All right, Dan, fine. Hamlet is about the quadratic equation.
Thank you.
But you know what Hamlet is not about, Dan?
What's that?
Hamlet is not about millennials.
I mean, okay, Will, actually, Hamlet is absolutely about millennials. Let's see. So the obvious, I mean, the quintessential millennial is Hamlet. Mm-hmm. But to make this more interesting, let's talk about Ophelia, who's a millennial, who is just running around, like, picking flowers and drowning herself and talking
because
about how
Hamlet
hard
is
life
about flowers,
is.
As we've already established.
Exactly. Correct. Rosencrantz and Guildenstern, who apparently can just take a semester off from school to come hang out with their friend. Horatio, who is a philosophy major. Like, let me think about that.
A theater degree not available, Horatio?
So it's just a whole bunch of youth who are running around who don't take any sort of action, who are just bemoaning their state, not doing absolutely anything, but probably the whole time dressed really well, eating really well. I mean, they have funeral baked meats. They have a spread.
Yeah, do you know what
time.
I would do for some funeral baked meats right now?
Right? We're eating ramen
Ramen!
Got ramen and saltines. Feeling good.
I'm not. I have self-respect, but Dan definitely is.
I'm definitely eating ramen and saltines. Please support the pod. So that is why Hamlet is about millennials. Now, Kev, you know what Hamlet is not about, of course.
Tell me, Dan, what's Hamlet not about?
Hamlet is not about the hit Canadian television show, The World of David the Gnome.
Well, actually, Dan, Hamlet is about David the Gnome, and I'll try and use small words so that you can follow along and understand. As we all know, David the Gnome was one channel down from Nickelodeon when I was growing up as a child, and I only watched it when I was flipping up the channels from ESPN and saw a cartoon and thought I had made it to Nickelodeon. As I recall, it was a somewhat Scandinavian show where there were gnomes with red hats. And when I think about red hats, yes, I think about the Polacks that Fortinbras was going to attack. And much like Fortinbras took a right turn at Denmark to allegedly attack the Polish, David the Gnome took a right turn one channel before Nickelodeon to set up shop and attack my viewing of, you know, Wild and Crazy Kids by picking me off the same way that Fortinbras picked off all of Hamlet and Claudius's family. And that, you stupid idiot, is why Hamlet is about David the Gnome.
Great. Good job. Nice work.
But you know what Hamlet is not about, Dan?
Oh, no.
As we somehow hit our 10th answer already.
We're just cruising. We're just on. We're on point. Go ahead. Hamlet, what is Hamlet not about?
Hamlet is not about former Boston Red Sox pitcher Derek Lowe.
Well, actually, Hamlet is about former Red Sox pitcher Derek Lowe. And let me tell you why. Derek Lowe's greatest thing he ever did in my life was when he got the Oakland A's out in a playoff series and then did a crotch chop.
Terrence Long.
To Terrence Long. And in that moment, he took tremendous action. And that is all. I mean, Derek Lowe is Laertes. He okay. is someone, he's a hothead. He is someone who, I mean, I picture Derek Lowe. I mean, Derek Lowe as an older brother to Ophelia. Ophelia suddenly makes a lot of sense to me. Mm. It's someone who's jaded, who has all this power, but at the end of the day, he'll never be more than a blue-collar number two pitcher at best who's going to sign a big deal with the A's, I believe.
It was the Mets. Did he make a ton of money with the Mets?
I don't know. He underwhelmed them. I know that.
Yeah, that's
that's what
sure.
Laertes does. He tries to...
The Dodgers?
He was with the Dodgers for a while. I mean, he's with everyone. He was, yeah. I mean, they just bounced around. He was never the star. He was a good guy surrounded by better people, which makes him just like Laertes. And Laertes is, of course, the foil to Hamlet. And Derek Lowe will always be the foil to someone better than him. And that is why Hamlet is about Derek Lowe.
So there you go, kids. That's how we play Will, actually.
I want to keep playing.
I know. Well, and you know, I guess we didn't say this before, but we obviously hadn't shared those with each other beforehand. As evidenced by our horrible answers, uncertain answers, our apologies. But again, wild card episode. We don't need to impress you. We already have your download.
Here's a question,
Dan,
Kev.
Do we want to...
I have a question for you.
Yes.
Since we cruised through that and we have a little extra time, are there any that you really wish I had said, let me tell you about that, that you would like to share?
I mean, I think we could go through... Do you want to go back... or I guess go through any of the ones... that the answers that we had that you didn't get into.
Yeah. That sounds great.
I forget what. Do you remember
just
what
kind of
order
bust
we did
through?
Them in?
I have mine in order.
Okay, go ahead.
Flowers.
You so covered. Did I get everything?
Yeah, I didn't even prepare a backup for that because I knew you were going to have an answer for that one. It was the lead off. But yeah, I would also just the fact that Hamlet and Ophelia are both little wilting flowers. But you covered that with Ophelia.
Oh, nice. I had white privilege. The reason I brought that up was bet both Hamlet and Ophelia get inside tracked. Hamlet kills Polonius, and Claudius doesn't do anything about it because he says Gertrude and the people love him too much, which is just absolutely like, oh, well, he's too rich and famous to do that. And the gravedigger's talking about how Ophelia gets a Christian burial despite the fact that she committed suicide.
Oh, yeah.
Is emphatically a white privilege point.
Great. Good point.
It speaks to her privilege.
Absolutely. Hamlet not being about 2000, this is throwback spicy bohemian. It's a 4.8% beer. And I'll tell you, it tastes delicious. Not about the 2003 Boston Red Sox. You covered most of what I had. You did miss the fact that there was an evil brother at play in the form of Aaron Boone.
Boo!
It's a corollary to Claudius. And also Tim Wakefield as the unsung hero who did more than he could really hope to do, but ultimately couldn't save our lives, reminds me of Horatio.
And he died in the center of the room.
In the public theater production.
As Flights of Knuckleball sung us to our unrest. The next one I had was cybersecurity. So this one, what I was actually looking for, the answer we were looking for here is that Hamlet hacks Claudius's mail to the English when he finds out that he's going to be executed.
Sure.
So
good point.
It would be an email hack, but it's just a regular mail hack. And that gets Rosencrantz and Guildenstern killed because Claudius didn't invest in proper sailor security. Very polite laughter. I'll take it.
We'll take it. Macaroni and cheese, of course. The base of any good sauce is a roux, and Ophelia gives us roux. She also says this is called the herb of grace on Sundays. Traditionally, the Italians make their sauce. A traditional Italian sauce is made on a Sunday. Mm-hmm. And more importantly, Stan from murderiseverywhere.blogspot.com reports that the reason that Hamlet couldn't actually kill Claudius, if you go and visit Elsinore is covered with tennis courts. And the reason that Hamlet can't use a sword is because he has tennis elbow. And of course, elbows are prominent in macaroni and cheese, as elbow macaroni. Everyone has their own version of macaroni and cheese. It comes in lots of different shapes and sizes. It's a comfort food, and comfort food is very traditional at a bereavement. So it's quite possible that macaroni and cheese would have been one of the, if you made it with bacon, as I do, or chorizo, if I'm feeling special, that is probably one of the funeral baked meats that was served at Gertrude's wedding. Which is why Hamlet's about macaroni and cheese.
Do you traditionally use a roux when you're making macaroni and cheese?
Sadly, yes.
I actually believe that, folks.
That was a rueful joke.
I rue the day that I made it. Mansplaining was next. I feel like you're not entire. Well,
no. Tell me more about what mansplaining is.
Because you turned it into Hamlet being a man. But I think Polonius is the ultimate mansplainer, right? When Ophelia is like, I feel this way. And Polonius is like, that's not how you feel. This is how you feel. Now run along.
Yeah.
You know.
That's fair.
We see what happens there, that mansplaining leads to flowers.
Yeah, I wish I could go back on that answer. I just felt like I was in trouble from like the first second I started. So I need to apologize to everybody.
That's fine. Hey, if you don't understand, again, you know, you can always ask me to tell you more about that. You know, if you don't have it in you, it's fine.
I really should have. That would have saved a lot of issues there. well. Quadratic equation, I've already told you about, and it was brilliant, honestly.
Yeah, I hate you, and I hate the quadratic equation. Millennials, great. The one thing I had written down is that Hamlet is still in college when he's 30, and he has no ambition, and he has no follow-through. That he's standing there, he's like, I could kill Claudius right now, but meh, maybe I'll do it tomorrow. I'll apply to kill Claudius tomorrow.
So the final one I had was The World of David the Gnome, and I really do admire your answer there. That was well
done. I don't think I've ever seen a full episode, but I'm definitely very aware of it.
Nice. It was one of my favorite shows growing up. It ran 26 episodes, unfortunately, which is far too short for David the Gnome.
But seriously? Gnomes,
yeah, isn't that crazy?
It was on every single day.
I think it ran on repeats for like in perpetuity.
Wow.
Like they did enough to make it through a month and then just played the whole season every month.
That's bananas.
But in the show, Gnome's lifespan is 400 years, which is appropriate for this year being the 400th anniversary of Shakespeare's death. Gnomes probably could be bound in a nutshell.
Nice.
Swift the fox. Hamlet is about fast action or the lack thereof, especially in Speak the Speech, as I pronounce it to you, trippingly on the tongue. You can expect the idea of being swift.
Sure.
Gnomes in the show work to repair the damage inevitably caused by humans, which reminds me of the line, O cursed spite that ever I was born to set it right.
Exit right.
David befriends a bird that when he whistles, immediately appears and transports him wherever he needs to go. And there's a lot of bird references, especially to a sparrow. And most importantly, The World of David the Gnome is narrated by Christopher Plummer.
No kidding.
Christopher Plummer, of course, made his debut at the Stratford Shakespeare Festival in 56, playing Henry V, and then played Hamlet the following year.
Huh.
He went on to play pretty much every part in the canon, leading up to most recently Prospero, like 6 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's done like every single part. He's like the most Shakespearean actor I could think of. So
That's pretty
good. And there he is, also on his resume, most importantly, most prominently, narrated The World of David the Gnome.
I would say most prominently mentioned on the podcast No Holds Barred, but who am I to pick nits? And finally, my last one was former Boston Red Sox pitcher Derek Lowe. I was actually comparing Lowe to Fortinbras in my brain, as he was ignored and cast off during the 2004 Red Sox season. He was relegated to the bullpen. He was the last starter. But yeah, much like Fortinbras, he came back and won three series clinching games in the same way that Fortinbras was in the right place at the right moment to win the series clincher at Elsinore to win Denmark.
And in the same way that Clay Buchholz is about to win three Cleary Ascension games on the way to World Series in 2016 for Chaboy's the Boston Red Sox.
Well, maybe this time next year, Hamlet will be about Clay Buchholz. Well, there we go. All right, that was Will Actually. Let us know if this worked or not, or if we should do Will Actually for other plays, or if this was a horrible nightmare that we'll never revisit and pretend ever happened.
Or if you're going to play with your friends, let us know what you think Hamlet is not about, and then tell us how they disproved you.
Yes, that would those would be amazing tweets to get, like, King Lear is about blah, 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 blah.
Right. King Lear is about blah, 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 blah.
Well, the next time we play Will Actually, we'll do King Lear, and we'll figure it out from there. All right, that's going to do it for us this week, I guess. If you want to keep in touch with us until next time, you can email us at noholdsbarredpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter at noholdsbarredcast, or you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/noholdsbarredcast. So, yeah. Till next time, my name is Kevin.
And I'm Dan. I'm gonna go try to finish this text.
Adieu, 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 adieu.